Welcome back. I am Chico West.
And I'm Shannon West.
And this is Filter Optional.
Yes.
And I am the no filter.
And I'm the filter.
And I need my filter today.
Yes, because we are going to talk about some treatment industry topic type things.
Yes, and the reason I need my filter is because, man, we're going to talk about ethical crap in the unethical shit. I hate even saying that.
Put your gum out.
Yeah. I will put my gum right over here.
Yeah.
But the unethical crap happening in the treatment industry.
Okay, you know. So Chico's personality gets a little impulsive and fired up. And so he's, you know, let some things soak in. But I always tend to like to go to rules and regulations, things that I'm a rule follower.
I love that about you.
And Chico's not. He's a rule breaker when it comes to maybe his personal life and some things.
I am
parking.
I'm not a rule breaker when it comes to ethics in our treatment industry. I'm almost the ethical police.
Yes, which is such a strange oxymoron, but I agree with it. But so I'm always, you know, saying, well, let's go, like with a PTA, like with a school thing, I'm always like, let's go to the bylaws. You know, what do the bylaws say? It's always good when you can go to a, you know, authenticating body and rules and regulations. So I think that as we talk about the things that really have fired you up, you're very passionate.
I'm very passionate about this. And at Casa Kalina, we have a brand promise. It's called transparent treatment.
Yes.
You know, we're not going to add any extra bills. We're not going to do any extra stuff. We're gonna list out everything that we are billing the client / customer family for when it comes to treatment for their male loved one at Casa Kalina.
Right, but people that aren't in the industry that are just calling to get help for their loved one and inquiring, they don't even know. We did an episode on questions to ask a treatment center when you call, and that would be a really good one to listen to if you are needing to call for a loved one. But then once you call, you know, you will find out that transparent treatment is
not always there.
Not always there. You're not always sure exactly what you're going to get when you hang up the phone. But then also, you don't know really what's going on behind the scenes, too. When they hang up the phone, how are they caring for you and your family when they hang up the phone?
Yes.
What are some of the conversations that can
happen? And so that's what we want to talk about today. And the reason I get passionate about this is because I do want to see people get help. The deal is, let's first talk about, Shannon, what I'd really like to first talk about is, you know, people have insurance.
Yes.
Okay, you have your health insurance, you have insurance, they can pay for treatment, but you go to the doctor, you've gone to the doctor.
Yes.
You were in the hospital, we've talked about that.
That's correct.
And we had to pay the copay.
Yes.
When you were in the hospital for 5 days, and it was some like $1,600 for 5 days, correct?
Yes. Okay. Well, 10%. You know, you end up because we had met our deductible because it was right before Christmas. So we had already spent a ton of money on copays leading up to meeting our deductible. But, you know, insurance can be, you trust and believe what people tell you. You have to call people to ask them what your insurance coverage is. Other people have to answer that question for you. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And because we never know, we have to call our insurance companies and say, what's our coverage on this? Because it's all so confusing. And especially today with insurance, it's very confusing. So when you call a treatment center and you ask,
what's your coverage?
What is it going to cost me? Because with insurance,
and there's with insurance, there's in network and out of network. You know, and
correct.
You know, at Casa Kalina, I've signed a few contracts now. I have 3 or 4 that I'm in network. I have not. I literally this month they go into effect. But we've been billing out of network, and with the out of network coverage, I get a breakdown of okay, hey, this is the services we billed. You know, they have to meet their deductible,
right?
And then they send me a check, and I send the family back that money.
Exactly. So, you know?
And so some people take it off, and we've made agreements with, hey.
I mean, you still have to pay for treatment. So
yes.
Once treatment is paid for, you don't take
extra money.
Insurance money as, you know, fluff. Like, oh, well, the insurance covered it too. And so did the family. So that's great. You just take what treatment costs.
Yes. And so we do that. But here's the issue is you have the copay and stuff like that. There are treatment programs around the country that are, you know, I don't want to get into advertising yet, but I do want to talk first and foremost about this because there's deceptive advertising. But when you talk about copay or other things like that.
Yeah, I don't think you even have to talk about advertising when you're talking about the copay because you're not going to put that out there like on a commercial. But what you're going to say about the copays,
yes, you know,
that's going to be an in-house conversation that somebody is going to be telling a family when they call, what is it going to cost me and what does my insurance cover? And they might answer.
Well, and here's the deal. Here's the crazy deal is
how
you want to send your loved one to treatment and you're thinking, most people think of inpatient treatment, but you know, the technical term is residential treatment center, RTC. And so RTC, you have to meet requirements. And most of the requirements, you know, go across states are similar, at least like 30 hours of you know, therapy and individual and groups and stuff like that, very structured. And so in that week time.
Which is what Casa Kalina is. It's residential treatment. So that's all you ever bill the insurance companies for because we are not an IOP right now.
No, people are sending their loved ones to treatment centers that might not even be licensed for residential. They might be just IOP with this living, you know, component. And IOP is intensive outpatient program. But you can have an intensive outpatient program here in Dallas.
And have them live there?
No. There's a lot of programs in Dallas that they don't live there and they go home.
You were saying they have a living component.
They have a living component. But, you know, most IOPs started you know, in cities where you would go after work or you would go after school and stuff like that. I worked back in the 90s in an intensive outpatient program, you know, and it was from 4 to 9, you know, 4 days a week.
Right. I remember.
You know, and so, yes. And so I didn't get home till 9:30 or 10.
Right.
And so those intensive outpatient programs and people would go home. They wouldn't stay at a sober living home. But there's these IOPs. So they're billing. So a family member
calls.
But you're
saying billing for residential.
They're billing for resident. They might be billing for IOP and stuff like that.
I was flipping it. I was saying CASA only bills for residential treatment
because
that is what we are licensed for.
Yes.
But you're saying that if CASA wanted to unethically, we could try to bill for other services.
Well, I don't know if it's unethical, okay? Because here's that fine line. When we talk ethics, there, you know, I don't think there's a fine line, but there is this line. I could bill for intensive outpatient, but I'd have to get another place, not the facility's address.
Right.
You know, open it up, you know, get it licensed through the state of Texas as an intensive outpatient program, you know, meet the ADA requirements, take the men off the property of Casa Kalina, take them over there and do 10 hours that way.
Right.
You know, and so that falls under, you know, the correct, you know, category.
Yeah, and that might be helpful.
That might be helpful. But here's my deal. The reason we don't bill for intensive outpatient program is because we have some men that come through Casa Kalina that we don't want to take away their intensive outpatient benefits when they move on.
Because
after
they might
complete.
Need it for aftercare.
Yes.
Extended care.
For extended aftercare. You know, then there's in between residential treatment and IOP is PHP.
So families need to realize that. Like, they need to realize that because they're usually in crisis. It's like we talked about when you're calling the treatment center, having a list of questions. You need to say, what are you going to bill my insurance for? Because they need to know that they might, you know, they might just want to use the residential treatment coverage right then, and then they might want to move on to the other.
Yeah, and so here's the deal. Where people have been billing insurance, you know, in a lot of ways it's stopped. But for a long time, people were billing insurance companies, and where these treatment centers were making a lot of money was through urine testing. And they were testing these clients, you know, 5, sometimes 7 times a week in the facility getting anywhere from $500 to $1,200.
When there shouldn't be drugs in the facility
at all. So, and they're doing it times a week.
They should pee clean.
Or five times a week.
They should pee clean every time or there's something really wrong with the facility.
Yes. And the deal is, I believe we test it at Casa Galena and we do it a couple times a week, sometimes more. You know, but the deal is...
But you don't bill the insurance company.
We don't bill the insurance company at all.
It's part of the treatment.
It is part. I pay for that out of our, you know, expenses.
That's right. That's right. It's rolled into the treatment fee.
Yes, but people... I had a parent send me at a sober living home here in Texas. Their son was at... They were billed $80,000... And it's either a 6 month or 9 month. The treatment center collected $80,000 on urine. They were charging $650 a month for sober living, but got $80,000 on urine testing.
It's insanity. Well, they've cracked down on that.
And insurance companies aren't paying that anymore. And we still believe in testing the clients.
Of course.
But not charging $800 to $1,200. The greed takes over and it fires me up.
I know. So let's talk about the copay though, because you haven't really said.
Okay, so the copay. So here's the deal.
What the problem is with that.
The problem is families are in crisis. They're calling about their loved one. Sometimes it's a young adult, you know, 19, 20, 23, you know, has maybe some drug offenses. And, you know, the courts are saying, hey, if you get them into treatment, we can work with you. And they want to see their loved one get healthy. And what happens is, you know, you have to collect the copay. So if the out-of-network coverage is $6,000, I would collect that $6,000 and I might take a chance on, okay, can I get these many days? I will only get 7 to 10 days authorized at the beginning. You know, then the insurance might say, hey, we're not going to authorize anymore. But I, as an owner, I'm going to take that risk and go, okay, maybe I can get 7 to 10 days when they first come in, you know, bill the insurance and then, you know, hoping that I can get the $17,500 for the first month. But usually I might not get that, you know, but then I might even say, I'll take $6,000. I most likely can get 20 days, which might cover $20,000. So then their treatment is reduced, but I'm helping that person out. But I need to get that $6,000. See, people are going, no, hey, we'll waive that.
Are people telling people, oh yeah, no, you don't need to worry about your copay here?
Yeah, they're telling people, or what they're doing is saying, hey, we're gonna try to collect it. You know, what they do is
they tell the insurance companies or who
they're telling
to try to collect it.
If you were sending, you know, one of our sons,
yes,
and you called and, you know, I'm the treatment provider, we're not married,
and I say to you,
I can't afford that $6,000, you know, blah blah.
My copay, if I call you and I say my copay is $6,000, but I can't afford that. I'm a single mom and I can't afford that. So how can you help me?
You know what? We will send it, and if you can send me something, I'll send you an envelope. You know, you don't have to worry about paying that.
I'll send you an envelope. What do you mean?
A self-addressed stamped envelope.
Easy for you to say.
And you know, if you can pay something, pay it. You know, but I'm not really looking for it.
In other words, I'm
going to
kind of send you it's a bill for the copay.
It's a bill, quote unquote, for a copay.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, if you can't pay it, great. If you can't,
let's go ahead and get them in.
Let's help them out. Let's do that.
Let's file your insurance.
And I'm going to file your insurance, but I'm not going to really ask you for that. I'm asking you, but not asking you.
So then the person goes through treatment and is graduated or discharged, and the copay is never asked for, but the treatment center has received all these insurance payments. So
yeah, and they've received maybe $20,000 or $30,000 in insurance payments.
Yeah, give me the rule on that, because I want to go to the rule, not just the feeling in your heart, you know, where you're like, oh God, that just doesn't feel good taking from the insurance companies without charging or following up on the copay. But is there a rule about that?
Well, the good thing is we have a kind of a trade organization called National Association of Addiction Treatment Providers. And we have these code of ethics, you know, and when you become a member, you are adhering to these code of ethics. And what one of the codes of ethics as it comes to, you know, NATAP members must collect reasonable fees and rent from the patient for sober living and other non-clinical deals. So not just for sober living. You must collect those things and not just say, hey, I'm going to bill the insurance. You know, so there's that expectation that you need to collect those fees.
Right. And then, yeah. Okay, so that's in the ethics, code of ethics. But then also, how would the insurance companies feel if they found out? What are their rules?
Well, if you sign an insurance contract like I have,
right,
and you're not collecting the fees, you'll lose that insurance contract.
Right. Well, you have to pay back the money.
And then you also might have to pay back the money because they're assuming that you've mm-hmm. already collected that. Mm-hmm. And so then there's that deception there.
Yeah.
You know, and so the reason this fires me up is because they're saying, oh, yeah, you have your... I had a family member this week, $6,000 out of network. I said I was going to do 2 months because they had pretty good insurance, but I need this $6,000.
Yeah.
And then I can bill your insurance.
Right.
And once I start billing your insurance, I'm hoping to collect this, you know, at a reasonable, you know, and customary rate. And that
right.
reasonable customary rate, you know,
you have to cover the treatment.
Yes, I have to cover the treatment. I told him I'd give him 2 months,
yeah.
And he wanted to pay out. And I said I can do in two payments, half up front and half halfway through, you know, treatment.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, these other treatment centers, you know, said I could pay it out over a year. And then he ends up at a treatment center that says you don't have to pay the copay.
Right.
Which is going against that. That's what fires me up.
But then after their loved one finishes treatment, they maybe aren't the healthiest that they could be. And therefore, it's going to end up round two.
Yes.
Calling, saying, oh my gosh, my loved one is back in trouble. What are my benefits? I've got to put them back in treatment, or I've got to, you know, put them in sober living. I've got
and
to do something.
And it didn't work, and they're blaming the treatment
work.
Center, and they're blaming everybody in my
and
industry.
And then the insurance company is like, dude, you've used everything. Like, you have drained this insurance, and then they're like, they're out money anyway. You know,
And then here's the deal is when people say they can't afford anything, I don't believe it. I mean, even if you're not making much money, people are spending lots of money to get drunk and to get high.
Right.
And they're spending lots of money, you know, on lawyer fees or bail bonds
on college classes that they fail.
Oh my goodness.
That's just
it's all
flushing
over
it, that
it's
not
all
even
over
credit.
The yeah. But so, people don't have a problem paying the copay when you go get your arm broken and you get a reset.
No, right.
You know, and so there's this big mix that people feel with addiction, a lot of guys with addiction, men and women, entitlement is all over the place. But entitlement with the families, too, is like, I'm entitled to this free treatment.
No, right. Yes.
You know, and so as you know, we're a...
And then parents do, I mean, if you're dealing with an addict and, you know, someone that you know, you'd like for the first shot to be the only shot to get them better... It's like cancer treatment. You know, you'd like that first round of chemo to be the one that gets it. But when it doesn't, you do get drained as a person with the financial burden. It is a financial burden, just like cancer or my disease. Ulcerative colitis is a huge burden, and it's financially. I mean, my medication is $600 a month. Which you maybe, he probably didn't even know that.
No, I did know that. But I mean, that,
I just
but
pick it up. But
here's the
I
deal.
Pay it,
if it keeps you out of the hospital.
That's exactly.
You know, if it gives you some sense of normalcy.
Yes.
You know. That,
I had to kind of give up Starbucks. It's that whole coffee a day thing, you know, so that I can buy medication. You know,
yeah.
I mean.
And we have some pretty good insurance and stuff like that. But it happens that we.
But there is no such thing as free treatment. If it's going to. Work.
No, there's
you wouldn't be like, oh, I'll take the free chemo. That's awesome.
There's some free treatment. Safe P when you're incarcerated yes. is good treatment, but you are incarcerated.
That's correct.
And so that is free.
Yes.
You know, and there are some programs out there.
There's some homeless programs that are
Nexus, Men of Nehemiah is great.
But they're nonprofits too.
They're nonprofits, and they
you should give to those. By the way.
Yes, but here's the deal is like ARM, it's $12 a day and they'll find money if someone can't afford that.
Yes.
But that's good. And there are programs out there, and we're going to do an episode on all these great programs.
And it holds people accountable for their treatment too. I mean, if I'm invested, if I'm a parent sending my son to treatment and I'm having to sacrifice a little bit and be invested in it, then I sure as hell am going to follow my rules that I, you know, as a family, because it's a family disease, you know, if I were sending my child to CASA or whatever, and you were to tell me, you know, well, you need to start working a program and you need to do this. And, you know, you got to
make some sacrifices.
Yeah. Then
remember, because we talked about it,
if I'm invested in it, I'm sure going to, you know, it's that whole thing. Like if you're having to pay $12 to go to ARM, even if you're, homeless, you know, if you're having, it gives you ownership
in your recovery.
I believe
yes. in that, because I don't believe in anything being free, because people don't take ownership in it. And right. so what's happening is that's where this deception comes in. I have my good buddy up in Utah. I was sharing this story with you last night. Is he has a great program, been around 18 years, and he told his marketing team, he goes in his Christmas letter, man, hey, we're doing a good job. It's hard competing against free.
Yeah.
And it is hard to compete against free, but we're offering better services. They are offering better services up there. You know, and man, you invest. A lot of people invest in, you know, expensive cars, all sorts of things. Yeah, we want people to really ask the good deep questions, because right. are they doing extra billing? Are they keeping more from your insurance? I mean, there's so many things we talked about in that one episode with Elizabeth and stuff like that. And so I can start listing things. Bam, 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 bam.
Let's talk a little bit about, let's move on from copay and insurance. Because I think people get the point, I hope, but, let's move on to another buzzword that I don't really know what it means, is patient brokering. I don't really know what that means. It's in the Code of Ethics, the NATAP Code of Ethics, but since I am not the counselor, I don't know really what patient brokering is.
What patient brokering is, I mean, it kind of covers a big spectrum, but here's the deal. What patient brokering is, it's a lot of kickbacks. You know, if I'm Casa Kalina, and you know, some interventionist or therapist or lawyer, you're an interventionist,
and I bring you a client,
and then I throw you $1,000. That is wrong, because we want. I've been asked that question being a therapist for the last 25 years. When I've sent a lot of people to treatment, do you get a kickback?
Right.
You know,
because it skews obviously. If you're a human being, you know, unfortunately. If I'm the interventionist and I'm like, well, if I send him over here, I'm not exactly sure what their program does or what their success rate is, but if they're going to give me $1,000, I mean, I'm going to funnel them there
all day long.
And it's kind of like the old pharmaceutical sales. They put the kibosh
Bingo.
On that.
Yes.
I mean, that used to be like, I remember in my single days, I would always want to connect with all my single friends that were pharmaceutical salespeople, because they would get tickets to all the hottest shows in town and
sporting events.
I mean,
and
everything.
Stuff.
They were like
going to big dinners,
yes,
all that
yes.
kind of stuff.
I mean,
and so the deal is with patient brokering is, you know, hey, you send us something out in California. It's happened. I got this great guy. He ain't that young anymore, but he wrote a good article. It's on our Casa Kalina page. About his friends that were doing this patient brokering. And then they end up relapsing. Hey, go find your drunk friends, your high friends, and get them here, and we'll give you $4,000 or something that. And so it really wasn't about helping the person. It was how can I get the money to make the money?
It's
and
like
so
almost
what's
like
happening?
Sending the masses out on a search party. Like,
yes.
Go find your money, you know, and bring them to us, and then get your money.
Yeah, and so that patient brokering's happening. Hey, no, come over here. This is a better place, but he's getting a kickback.
Yeah.
And so it's
tough to compete with that. I know it's unethical, but is it now becoming illegal
in several states.
Okay.
Florida's been a big one, and you know, Florida state House passed a bill that patient brokering is illegal, and it's a criminal and a civil offense. And so you can get a large fine and you can spend time in jail. You know, because you're brokering patients.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
You know, and that isn't that's just wrong and unhealthy. Yeah. You got to find the right program for the right person.
Yeah.
And people are in this desperation. They're not asking, I think it's a fair question.
Yeah.
Ask if you get referred somewhere, are you getting a kickback?
Yeah.
That is a fair question.
Yeah, certainly.
You know, and so those kind of things.
I'm thinking my mind's wandering to this podcast I listened to. It was about a doctor here in Dallas that, was kind of patient broker. My mind's wandering because it was so wrong, but so many people didn't catch up on it. Like, he would say, I have to switch hospitals because this hospital has better equipment and all this kind of stuff. But really, it was because that hospital would let him in and
pay him more
and, yeah, all this kind of stuff. So I'm thinking about that. It's like...
Well, and it's similar.
People will say...
Our industry...
This is the best program. This is the best of the best. And then they don't really care. I mean...
But the deal is asking those questions. Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. It's like anything else in our industry. I mean, in our country. You know, you got cars that, are great cars. Get you from point A to point B. You know, but they don't have all the bells and whistles. They don't offer all the extra amenities and stuff like that. You know, when you're looking for treatment, you know, sometimes it's not about the bells and whistles. And, you know, I want to be careful with that. But it's like, what are they going to do? You know, programs, you know, with our ethics, it's right on
the
NATO.
It's about the best fit for the client.
And for the family. See, big on the family. And a lot of times people say they have family, but man,
but what comes to mind is like a wilderness program for a 17-year-old. You know, that's going to be the best for the client, but it's not going to have bells and whistles.
No, it's not. But it's like, hey, do they have a good clinical team?
Yes,
how long has their... has their staff been with them?
Right.
You know, those kind of questions are good questions. But patient brokering, if someone's getting a kickback, that is illegal now in most states, in many states, not most states. You know, it's unethical. You know, if they say they're a member of NATAP, then, they can lose their membership as well.
Yeah. Okay, so let's take a little bit of time. I'm sorry, I'm kind of steering.
That's
because
fine. Because I can get going.
Yes, we could be here
I could talk more.
Kevin
about...
could miss his wedding.
Oh, yes.
Or his flight.
But when people hear this, Kevin will be married, and he will be in Hawaii.
Oh, that's true.
Congratulations.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yes.
But let's talk about misleading advertising, because you're not going to go on TV and go, hey, we're going to waive your copay and we're going to do it. You know, you don't say all that in an advertisement, but being misled happen in advertising?
Oh,
I kind of know some ways just
Googling. Go for it.
Well, I mean, I would, when I started to work for you at CASA, since CASA's just been open, you know, a little over 2 years, so it was my first experience with branding and marketing and business development and everything. Although I can sell it because I have a passion for it and we've been in this business for 20 plus years. But when I would Google treatment, Google Casa Kalina when we first opened, it would pop up other treatment centers, as their ads first. And then I found, so in doing my research, my due diligence, I'm like, well, let's get an ad. How do we get an ad on Google? And then I found out that they're illegal-ish.
Yeah, well, for a little while, Google stopped it, this pay-for-click ads, because the big companies could overpower us small people.
Right.
And now they're allowing it, but what they're doing is similar to... When you're doing pay-for-click ads, you have to get vetted, and it's the vetting process is similar to the drug companies. It's what is it called?
I can't remember what it's called either, but I know what
legit
you're talking about.
Legit scripts.
Yes.
It's like legit scripts. You know, hey, is this a legit company? You have to show them everything.
Because as we know, you leave everything on the internet these days, and so that's a I'm not for censorship or.
Yeah, but that's deceptive web advertising.
Vetting is okay.
One of the ways is there's a big, you know, company that traded on the New York Stock Exchange, and maybe their letters are AAC, but they had rehabs.com. They bought rehabs.com. A lot of people were using rehabs.com. You pull up, it's a search engine, and all of a sudden they own it. So they can funnel everything to their facilities.
But doesn't it now say in the code of ethics that you can't own?
Yes.
That now?
It says that because
I did a little research because
Shannon.
Hey, I know, right?
Yes.
Because that's
the code of ethics 2.5. You know,
I can sound super smart
must not utilize any form of false or misleading advertising, must not exploit patients or families, and must not engage in
confidentiality and stuff
yeah,
like that,
practices that are predatory or destructive to a collaborative marketplace. You know, so there that.
But it says something about the search engines.
Exactly. And so.
Or if you want to be. There's something about owning directories too.
Yes.
Right?
NATAB members must provide prominent information in all their advertising or their websites and in their. Collaborative marketing materials about the type of model or services. You know.
Also known as collaborative.
Yes. They must, display their brand, must say what they're doing.
Yeah.
It can't be this deceptive stuff.
Right.
And so they're really changing that, which is
good.
Well,
and it's tough too, because in my research, again, you know, I found the same about social media. You know, they're really... And I don't blame them for having to try to regulate Facebook and Instagram and all that kind of stuff, because you certainly could get a lot of misinformation, bad information through those channels also. But, I was realizing that because so many people are advertising with Facebook now and it's cheap. But, there are rules about that. And Facebook lets you know the rules, but...
Yeah, and so, but here's the deal.
So
is,
we follow the rules.
Still, all this stuff is relatively new. The
sure,
social media
everybody.
Stuff.
To everybody.
And stuff like that. To everybody. I mean,
even Zuckerberg, is that his name?
Yes.
Even Zuckerberg's like, what do I do with this? All
yeah.
this privacy
I
stuff.
I mean, but yeah. here's the deal is.
He's that, on the hot seat.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about ethics. It's like, man, people want to get that competitive edge, you know, and.
And there's not necessarily anything wrong with doing that if it's not deceptive and not unethical, especially when you're dealing with human beings.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with it. But here's the deal. When you are dealing with human beings, the line can get blurred.
Yes.
And so our deal is, hey, watch that line getting blurred. Now, if they're going back to what we were talking about, if they're saying no to, copay, man, how come? Did you get a waiver? If you didn't get a waiver, and did you have to show them your tax returns and your bank statements and stuff like that? If you got a waiver and you showed them your tax returns and bank statements, hey, that's all right. But if they're allowing right. everybody and there's no copay and stuff like that, that's deceptive.
Yeah.
That's unethical, and it could be fraudulent on the patient or the patient's family.
Yes, right.
With the insurance.
They could end up. Yeah,
they don't even yeah. realize that.
No,
and, you know, if they're billing excessive amounts for UAs and stuff like
yes.
that is wrong. I know a lot of people that have had to pay.
The insurance will come back to the person that owns the policy.
Yes, and then if they're saying,
the
hey,
family.
They're a treatment center, but they're only IOP, and they don't say that on their website or anywhere else, that's deceptive because the person's thinking, hey, I'm going. Hey, we have a sober living component with an intensive outpatient. Yeah.
And it's like an audit. They get caught, you get caught.
Yes.
Because the money always is going to come back to you.
But that has nothing to do with,
right?
That doesn't have anything to do with you. That's going into the advertisement. So the facility, if they're not saying they're an intensive outpatient and they get misleading.
You know what? You just derailed for a second and then came back. Okay.
Yeah, but I was talking about the whole...
Waiver. You were talking about waivers and...
I talked about
interest.
Waivers and all that stuff, but then I went into deceptive marketing practices.
I missed
You know, then there's this
the
patient
change.
Brokering.
Yes.
I mean, there's so much that we could talk about. I want to see people get better, get healthy, you know, recover from addiction. At the same time, I also want people to take ownership, not just the facilities, but also the loved ones. Hey, you have some skin in the game. But really, it's more about the facilities in this deceptive. My struggle is when you start, you know, bringing this stuff up, hey, you didn't collect copay. Well, I'm trying to help the addict. My belief, this is my belief, and you can flush it if you don't like
it. Yeah, here it goes.
I'm just trying to help the addict. No, I think you're trying to help your bottom effing line.
Yeah.
You know, and that pisses me off. Because be honest about that. I'm just trying to help my bottom line. Okay, I can deal with that. Hey, slow down, pull your head out of your butt and go, hey, that's deceptive. It's also can be fraudulent. You know, so look at that shit.
Yeah, okay. So I think we can probably wrap up. And
yes.
Everybody enjoy their spring break if you're on spring break. And you can ask us questions.
Wedding to Kevin.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, guys.
If I screwed some things up, you know, shoot that. I'm open to it. And if I was deceptive at all, you know, market that.
Right. But, you know, you can ask questions, too. Let's ask questions.
Yes.
And Chico can get fired up a little more.
Yes.
And really burn a bunch of bridges.
And have fun in Hawaii.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay.